Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WESA's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Leslie Ann McElroy. Leslie Ann McElroy won the 2001 WordPress Poetry Prize for her full-length collection Rare Space and the 1997 Slipstream Poetry Chapbook Prize for her chapbook Gravel. Her second book, Liquid Like This, was published by WordPress. Leslie's work appeared in Connotation Press, Dogwood, Jubilat, the Mississippi Review, New Ohio Review, and Pearl. Leslie is managing and poetry editor of HEART, Human Equity Through Art, the nation's only journal of literature and art devoted to fighting discrimination and promoting social justice. Hi, Leslie. How are you?
Hi, Jan. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
And you're going to start with some new poems or poems from?
No, they're all new.
All new?
All new.
Wow, you've been busy. Okay.
They're in a manuscript that I'm working on.
Okay.
Okay. The first poem is called Living with the Thin Girl. The thin girl burns calories lifting hangers from the shopping rack, hungry as anyone for a bargain. She is not obsessed with her waist or the way her stomach laces her hips together like a rope bridge bent beneath the weight of the wind. The thin girl loves flowers. Find her in a meadow or at a bank tucking a withdrawal slip in her pocket. In a coffee shop, drinking chai, reading the poem about the scarecrow woman, feeling the deepest parts of herself swept up in a tornado of straw and chaff. The thin girl eats pancakes at the fundraiser, licking syrup with your tongue, wearing your clothes until she is weary with lycra and twinkies herself into sweats in front of the TV, fat with longing, starved. The thin girl eats you alive, cuts you with razor bones and dips you in gravy. Just imagine the bite of one so slight that the space between the door and jam is expanse. Squeezing between the hinges, she slips away, and you don't know she's gone until you see yourself in the mirror, sad face, soft belly. These next two poems are poems, I'd say for my father, but he wouldn't like them. But he's dead, so he doesn't know. The first is called 250 Rebel. In the dream, I wanted badly for my father to fix my motorcycle. I kept handing him wrenches, worried I would have forgotten how the gears work. I would have forgiven him everything to get it started, to feel the spread of the leather between my legs, to be able to leave like that, no direction except away. Except he was elusive the way fathers are, dreams. He shook his head and was frail. I knew he was sick because he always had been. I knew he could fix it. I knew he wouldn't. And the second dad poem is called Running with Daddy. I see my father again, though he is not here. I am running with the dog through the rain. It is Sunday. Each step is a cadence. Good dog, bad dog, bad dog, good. I break my pace. Nearly 30 years I've been racing this downpour. Running the streets of my memory, wrong address, wrong house, empty mailbox, key under the rock, under the porch, broken lock. I picture my father, and he is sad. Sad to be dead because he misses his cars and the way money made him feel like he could give something, like he could take something away. He is thin and weak, and I can outrun him. I have a key to my own house now and let myself in. I am sweaty and salt, breathing heavy with the hill in my lungs and the dog on the leash pulling. I stop, let the dog go, and sit down to write the letter I have been writing for 30 years in the language he taught me, the language I know. Salutation and closing, one and the same. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. This poem is called After Age and Poachers. I have a shed in my chest, a place to store things too frail for the heart, things that can't bear the beating, insistent lung wind. It is soundproof, so organs can't be heard dying, vessels popping. The bloodstream is more like a trickle, and cancer has a soft sea. In here, I keep the never kiss, the salesman's ring, bookends, boots, and a bottle, a toolbox to fix love after age and poachers. It is simonized and shingled, boxes stacked over the damp corner where storms seep in, despite the sealant, the stripping. Come in with me now if you need something. The seeds we never planted, turpentine, shellac, a shovel, a nail, a vice. But remember, when you shut the door, the heart is silent, the light stingy, and the one thing you want, impossible to find.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Leslie Ann McElroy. She's reading some new poems for us from your new manuscript. Do you have a title for the manuscript yet?
If it would stop changing, I would have a title.
Okay. So you have
it's on its third iteration now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to ask you about the your poems are always brave, and the voice in them is, you know, not afraid to enter difficult territory. So, you know, you have in these new poems and in past poems, you have poems about bulimia, illness, you know, tortured relationships. I mean real life. But I guess I want to ask you what drives you to write and what sort of enables you to go into those areas in your poems?
I think it comes down to what you like in other people's poetry, in the sense, I mean, it's the kind of work I'm drawn to. I want to feel the emotional center of a poem, and I want to be affected by it. And I think that usually means taking risks. I think that I admire the poets that take risks and are willing to say truths that are hard to say publicly or even on a piece of paper. And so not being sensationalistic or anything or sensationalizing, but being honest with yourself about what you need or want to say and to communicate to somebody else or to affect somebody else that mm-hmm. feels important to me.
Were there roadblocks, you know, like psychically or on the page that you had to get past in order to do that, as in who's going to read this, who's going to see this, how am I going to read this in person out loud at a reading, or, you know, et cetera?
I think there's always some of that. I mean, you don't want to hurt a family member. Like, my dad's dead. That one was easy. But you don't want to hurt anyone, and you don't want to. I ask permission often. I have a series of poems in which my brother doesn't look so great, but I ask him before I read them or before I would send them anywhere. So my family.
What if he said no?
I wouldn't do it. There's no need for me to. I have a lot of poems. There's no need for me to hurt somebody to have a poem out. But that's interesting you say that, because I've been doing some other writing that is probably more hard, not in poetry form. And I actually have sent it out. I don't know what I'll do if I get accepted. I guess I'll have to tell somebody that it's going to be out there. But
well, what are you writing?
It's an essay, but in a very poetic form, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, it's very much about things I've experienced, but some people don't look so great in it. So I don't really expect it to get published, but it's another way to try and, you know, explore these mm-hmm. things.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of layers of consideration and thought and struggle in doing this. I mean, as with all poetry, I guess. But
I think so. I mean, I think it's important to not hurt people with your poems. I also think it's important to tell your truth. So.
Well, sure. I mean, you can change names. You can change details. You can do all that.
Right, right.
And make a brother into an uncle who doesn't exist, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, no, and that's been done.
Okay. All right. Can you read some more?
Sure. So this poem is called Slag. It has a lot of Pittsburgh imagery in it. One blue hour simmers on the stove, steam drifting like a slow train up and over the mill line. Still life burnt in coal, black heat, skin cold split in the third shift. The radiator hisses. Flurries dance on the wind in spun madness. She presses her hands to the hot pipes, looks out across the Pittsburgh gray, soaking it in, spreading it like a blanket across her memory, thick like miner's dust, an iron door. She wears gloves to bed, wakes to the itch of wool, startled by how her fingers feel like someone else's, how rough they've grown, like a man's, inside her winter skin. She pictures the man, bright in her childhood dream head, like the light at the end of a shaft. He is twice her size, and she can't see around him. Warm bourbon breath that melts the snow before it lands. The game will be played in the big wooden house. The kitchen floor freshly mopped, though no one lives there. She will like the game because he made it up just for her. She puts her hands in his flannel pockets and follows. The sky is wide, the day endless. Somewhere, a kettle whistles. The man's fingers are dry and hot as he teaches her how to play. When he kisses her, she kisses back. It is freezing without her gloves and underwear, but his hands are a furnace, and that is enough. He doesn't ask her not to tell. Instead, he points to the smokestacks across the river still burning, says how the blue fire from the molten ore can singe your skin off, leave you cold like steel. Tells her she'll never feel anything like it. This next poem is called The Way Out. I want to write a letter to everyone I know and ask about the man. About the man, the swing, an empty house, and a smokestack, the smell of mildew, oil, wood. You see, he left me nothing. I remember nothing as if there's nothing to remember. Except in my dreams, there is a man and a swing, an empty house, and a smokestack. You see, there is his back, and once in a dream, I saw my daughter behind him. My daughter, but me. I woke shaking, me but not my daughter, not the man. You see, I will kill him if he touches her. It is the only thing I know. It is the smoke, the swing, the house, the oil, wood, mildew. It is the stench. You see, it is the mother who should have been there, the father who shouldn't have left. It is the man's back, his face I can't see. It is the window. It is the door. This one's called Molly. It has a little story behind it because it's actually named after a girl I met in the cage, and she is a taxidermist.
Did you say in a cage?
At the cage. That's a bar here in Pittsburgh. I'm sorry. Okay. The Squirrel Hill Cafe.
Okay.
And she was a taxidermist. She was like 25 years old, and she cracked me up. But she liked Chuck Palahniuk. And she talked to me about him, and I'd never heard of him before. This poem is about her, and it's called Molly. I keep thinking about the taxidermist, the one I met at the bar, who scoops roadkill from Route 28 with her apron on, deplumes the turkey in the trunk of her car in a lit strip mall at 1 a.m. so as not to disturb her landlady with an obsession for feathers, evisceration. She drinks frambois. She's not a real redhead, you know, and won't work for hunters. She salvages, repurposes, makes necklaces from fox teeth. And to hear her tell it, the day the contractors pulled the plug on the freezer was the saddest day ever. She lost everything. I mean, everything. And her eyes are really big. She reads stories about boys jerking off while sitting on the circulation pump at the bottom of the pool. So bent on getting off, so holding their breath, they don't notice their large intestines being sucked down the drain and have to bite through the rubber flesh hose of their colon and corn crap inside them to save themselves. She recommends the author highly, and you feel yourself shutting up about metaphor, loss, longing, sick to your stomach, holding your breath. And I keep thinking if you were here, you'd fall in love with her too, except you'd want all of her. You'd be sad when she said she's too busy with knives, totems, grouses to bother with a boyfriend, that she loses a part of herself every time she hooks up. Her name is Molly, 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 and I repeat it like the name of a cocktail storm stray, like the name of the girl that poor boy was jerking off to when he came, pearls in chlorine, when he floated naked to the top to find his insides out.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Leslie Ann McElroy, reading some new poems. Leslie is the managing and poetry editor of HEART, Human Equity Through Art, the nation's only journal of literature and art devoted to fighting discrimination and promoting social justice, which is a mouthful, but I want you to tell us about it, you know, in your own words, so what it is and what's going on with it.
So HEART is an online journal. It was originally a print journal from 1997 to 2002. And probably one of the most significant things I ever did. So 11 years later, I decided I needed to do it again. And this time it was a lot easier to do because we have the internet. So HEART now exists at heartjournalonline.com. And it publishes a wide range of material, from everything from poetry and essay to art, photography. We've been getting a fair number of, we've even gotten some music. But the only criteria is that it all has to be very artistically crafted and talk about social justice issues, whether that's sexual, gender, class, race. It's a platform for that.
Mm-hmm. And when you say that, you mean it directly relates to that subject matter, not subtle, suggestive?
It depends on the craft. One mm-hmm. of the things that we find, a lot of people write a lot of poems about social justice issues. Very few people write them well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to write because it's easy to preach to the choir or stomp your feet and this kind of thing. But when you find a writer or an artist who can present the material in a very well-crafted way that is still surprising and fresh, it is brilliant, and it's really impactful, and so that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you started it up again. I was a big fan of HEART when it was a print journal, and you did that with Dan Morrow.
Yeah, and Dan is still involved, but because it's the internet, I'm much more in the I put this site up, and I mostly look at all the material. He still is the editor for our fiction and essay submissions.
And you also have a performance series?
We do. We have a performance series. It's a three-part series. We had Saeed Jones read with Terrence Hayes this past October. And we have Tim Siebels and Yalianis Bourne coming on March 20th of 2014. And it'll be at the new Hazlitt Theater, who is our partner. So
great.
It's going to be exciting.
Open to the public?
It is open to the public.
Okay. And you have a website that people can go to?
Yes. You can find everything about HEART at heartjournalonline, all one word, .com.
Okay, that's great.
Thank you.
That's really great. So before we go back to poems, I thought that last poem was really terrific about what's the word I want? The person who's...
The taxidermist.
The taxidermist. I'm thinking the person who's stuffing
animals.
Yeah. Oh, it was kind of creepy, but I thought it was a really strong poem with a lot of great imagery, and I don't know, do you want to say anything about the writing of that poem? It feels a little different from your other poems in some way.
I think it's different because it's a little funny. Mm-hmm. But the experience of meeting the woman who I wrote it about was so strange. And I actually did fall a little bit in love with her. Mm-hmm. Like, she was such a unique individual. She was eating beef jerky. She had long red hair. She was a taxidermist.
And you're a vegetarian.
And I'm a vegetarian.
Well, it's good to know you have an open mind.
So it was all very strange, and it almost cried out for a poem. It couldn't.
Yeah.
I could. What do you got to do something with that, you know?
And especially when I thought you said you met her in a cage. Maybe you should put that in. But okay. It's a great poem.
Thank you.
So we have time for some more.
Okay. I'm going to read a poem called If You Still Want to Marry Me Now. Carry this small bag with you. In it, my heart and a wind tapping nervous, a pirate's split plank, preacher's rotten teeth. Brush against it as you walk to the chapel, feeling itch in your palm, how suddenly the sky is just short of everywhere and the boat full of wild, how to get here to there. Hold it on your tongue, burlap bite and dirty. Walk off the uncharted waves, beating your man body down. Then rise to the lip of the sea, splintered gums, salted skin, the preacher's last prayer blowing in your mouth. And should your soul fill with so much glory, give it to me. Give it to me now. It will take two to surrender. This one's called Ides of March. The lover in me left without a note, a stray hair, a stocking in the drawer. Her scent is on your fingers, not mine. I don't miss her or her panties or her lies. How she said she would love you forever and wore your shirts to bed. How when she started packing, she called it laundry, cleaning up. How she let you take her to dinner and spent night after night drinking wine, reading your poems like Porton. The Ides of March, between the pages a rail ticket, the binding of straw, between the words, another home without you in it, without me. This is called Double Kiss. What I know about pool is nothing, but I know hip and swagger and something about angle and the way when you kiss one person and they kiss another, it falls hard in the pocket and there is a score to total, to settle, to wash down with another shot. Or maybe it's more like scratch, that white ball going straight in the hole, reminding me of boys and sticks, balls tucked tight, ready to break, that triangle, the other. Did you really think you could play me like this? With your game, your blue tip poetry, your handicap? I want nothing more than to walk away from the table, the hat wearing and knuckle cracking, dirty smoke and Pabst pounders, to slip out under the Pittsburgh neon, eat eggs with toast and red hot. Somebody's winning everywhere and losing. Somebody's got a cue stick stuck up someone. Somebody is learning grace at a table of old school, where the winner buys and the girls don't play. And if they do, they forfeit, go all chalk and luck. This poem is called Irreparable. This is how the heart breaks. Never fast, always rust, tears and a metal-like sorrow. Eyes drawn back to before, more, a heavy, yawning yoke. This is how the heart breaks. A shattering, a moment or no moment at all, an unmended erosion, a beggar moving in, his stone pillow. This is how the heart breaks. The wren grounded, hand empty, wound open like a window stuck. The wind barely in and out, the wind. This is how the heart breaks. On Sundays, mostly, vase empty, big bed, the sun like God's head turning away, his shadow his narrow back. Trying on death. He works for Batesville Casket Company, wears death like a ring on his finger. He's seen more love selling burial boxes than most see in a lifetime. Tears and wrung regrets as the survived by shop the display room, pausing at the slightly damaged, limited-time-only models. He keeps this in his face as he explains options. Cherry versus pine, millennium steel, primrose bronze, laid out in a fancy four-color trifold. The cost always tucked inside his briefcase, hard as the body he fits. Sometimes he dreams of his own funerary, mahogany with gilded handles and an embroidered overthrow. The warmth, beauty, and personality natural wood brings to death. The moon shining velvet on his quiet end. Once, alone in the dead hours of the afternoon, he dared lay down on it, surrounded by sweet billows, crossing his arms in approximation, forever landed, an eternity of forgiveness, almost ready, exhilarated. But when he suggested to Mr. Batesville that they might let customers try out a casket, test drive, so to speak, his boss shook his head with the weariness of a moneyed angel and said, "You get them in there, they might never come out."
It's the poetry of Leslie Ann McElroy. Thank you so much. That was great.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Prosody, WESA's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in every Saturday morning at 6:30 for Prosody, 90.5 WESA.